All right. Philippians chapter 4 verse 19 says, "But my God shall supply all your need." He didn't say needs. He said need. We have continual need.
Right.
Amen. According to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I just got a little message here that I titled, "He's All I Need."
Amen.
I mean, God is all I need. There's nobody else that I need. You say, what about your wife? If God hadn't saved me, I would not have a wife. Amen. What about money? He's all I need. Amen. Listen to me, kids. The world will tell you need this and you need that. The world will tell you that, boy, if you ain't out in the world doing this, listen, God's all you need. Amen. You don't need nothing else. You just need a lot of God. Amen.
Amen.
And tonight, young people, old people, they're trusting in the 401ks, amen. They're trusting on this world system. All I know is when God told me to go full time, I didn't have all this money. All I know is He said, "Trust me, you're all you need. You don't need nothing else," amen.
Amen.
And today, kids, I want you to see today that what Brother Linton's been teaching and Miss Lisa's been teaching and these preachers are saying to you tonight is God is all you need.
Amen.
You don't need nothing else.
Amen.
I mean, it's good to have an education. But a lot of colleges try to steal what you believe. They're going to try to tell you that, well, you believe in the fairy tale. They want you to believe evolution. They don't want to believe that you were created. Amen. But God took care of that in the first five words of the Bible when He said, "In the beginning, God created." Amen. He just settled the evolution statement in my mind. In the beginning, God created. You kids need to start learning how to lean on God. Some of you are at the age now, you're fixing to leave home. Mom's not going to be there. Dad might not be there. God might could be calling you to a mission field. He might be calling you to some kind of full-time service. He might just be calling you to be a good church member. And what you need to keep in your mind, Miss Grace, is God is all you need. That's all you need. I want to just to give you a couple things here. You need to learn to trust Him. You need to learn to trust God. In Proverbs chapter 3, go over there real quick for me. Proverbs chapter number 3. Proverbs chapter number 3. Look at verse number 5. Trust in the Lord. You've got to learn to trust in the Lord, but it said, with all thy heart. I said this morning, we need to change "I surrender all" to "I surrender some." Or "I surrender a little." Are we truly surrendering everything to God? Are we truly saying, "Lord, I'm going to trust You for everything. I can trust You that You can send me a mate."
Amen.
Amen. I can trust that You can send me a job that I can go and be a Christian at and I won't have to worry about the world. You can trust Him. Why don't you try Him tonight? Why don't you try God tonight and see if God won't do what He said He would do? He'll do more than you ask for and think, I'll tell you that. I just got saved to stay out of hell. I didn't know it was this good, amen. I didn't know God was going to take care of all my needs. Trust Him. But I'll tell you this, you need to taste Him too. Over in Psalms chapter 34 verse 8, it says, "Oh, taste the Lord and see that He is good." Kids, if I could get one thing nailed down this week, God is good. He's the best thing that ever happened to me. And if you'll just taste Him, you would see that He's good too. Amen. God wants to bless you. He wants to give the things that you need. But tonight, you got to try Him, you got to trust Him, and you got to taste Him. Amen. Brother Perry, I'm glad I tasted Him. I'm glad one day by faith, I just said, "Okay, God." I talked to Brother Charlie. I said, Brother Charlie wouldn't tell me to go full time. Brother Linton didn't tell me to go full time. I just trusted in the Lord. I tasted the Lord and I tried the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, it's the best thing that I ever done. God is good. God is good. God is good. Hey, kids, God is good. I'm telling you, it's time that you realize how good God is to you. If you're sitting here tonight with the right mind, you ain't never defiled your mind. You ain't never defiled your body. You should be up and shouting and praising God about how good He's been to. Ain't it funny in services? The only people that wants to give up and give a testimony is those ones that are those old drug addicts and those old drug. What's wrong with the kids getting up that's never been out in the gutter, getting up and saying, hey, preacher, let me give a testimony. I got saved at 5. I've been in church all my life. I married my wife in church. Woo! I was done in church. Amen. Ain't God good? Ain't He good? Last night when He convicted your heart, He showed you that you had a problem. Ain't it good that you can come and get it fixed? Ain't it good? Ain't it good that God is a God of second and third and fourth and fifth chances? Ain't it good? He's all you need. All Brother Jimmy needs is God. All the missionary needs is God. But we want to apply that to full-time service. All us Christians need is God. That's all we need. You can't figure out God. Man, I can't. He's hard to figure out. When I think that we were going down for the last time, I think this is the first month, Brother Matthew, I'm going to have to just call and say, God, You didn't supply my need. I mean, it just looks like when God is fixing this, hey, I'm going to have to go take out a loan. I'm sorry, I spit. I can't help it. Amen. I'm telling you, God just shows up and does something miraculous that I can't even fathom. That's how good God is. He's all you need. He's all you need. That's all you need is God. Now I'm going to give you three quick things about He's all you need. And these are simple stories. I don't have no deep messages. I'm sorry. I preach to kids that their minds are blown. God's made me a simple preacher. But He's all you need in the fire. I think about Daniel chapter 3. I mean, here Daniel, in Daniel chapter 3, we know the story. I'm not going to read it, but you know the story. King Nebuchadnezzar had set up that idol, that golden image. And here Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, somewhere down the line, they had made they said, hey, we're God's child. Hey, listen, they were doing that in captivity. They were still living right in captivity. Amen. Y'all don't believe that? They were over there with Daniel. He just said, they ain't changed their name yet. Didn't y'all read that this morning? I did. I'm glad it's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego because I sure couldn't say them other three names. It's good to get out Scott. Amen. But listen, here they come up to the king and the king says, hey, everybody's going to have to bow or you're going to burn. Now, you know what the world does today? When they say bow, we bow. When Hollywood says, wear this, guess what our kids do? We bow down and wear it. Right. When they say, that's what you need to listen to, we bow down and listen to it. Right. But Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, they said, we're not bowing down no more. We're not going to back off. We're going to keep on going with what we know is right. Amen. Hey, these were kids. These weren't some great adults. These were kids, young people that loved the Lord. And somewhere in their life, they had already trusted in the Lord. God, they had already tried the Lord. They had already tasted the Lord. I believe that. So here, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're in the fire. They're fixing to go in the fire. Boy, I'm telling you, he said, okay, there's three kids here. They didn't bow down. And King Nebuchadnezzar, he said, we just give them one more chance. We'll give them one more chance. And they brought them before. They did the same thing. They played all those musical instruments, fellas. I mean, they did not bow down. Boy, King Nebuchadnezzar, and I know I'm paraphrasing this, but y'all know the story. King Nebuchadnezzar said, heat up the furnace 7 times. I wonder why he heated it up 7 times. What's the number 7 in the Bible? Completion. Perfection. Because the perfect one's fixing to step in the fire. You know, I believe if them Hebrew boys had bowed that day, they would have never saw God. I mean, in the flame. So here they go, and King Nebuchadnezzar said, hey, don't you know I can kill you? He said, let it be known, King. We're going to be delivered. Whether we die, we're going to be delivered. But we will not bow. We will not bow. And I'm going to tell you something. A lot of Christians today, they don't want to go in the fire. They don't want to get nowhere around the fire because they're worried. I'm telling you, I'm glad God has put me in some fires in my Christian life. Why? Because when God puts you in the fire, He proves you. He proves you. Not only that, He purifies you. Fire purifies. God's trying to put you in the fire to maybe get some rough edges off of you to show you that He can do it. He's all you need in the fire, kids. Amen. He's all you need. He's all I need. I remember not too long ago, we was going up to Brother Gary Smith's and my wife had went for a checkup and I mean, everything was fine. I mean, we're serving to God. God's paying our bills. Everything's fine. We got a new van to drive around in. And then the phone rings and the doctor says this, Tanya, you got something growing inside of you and it's growing and growing and growing and you got to have surgery now. You don't think I pulled over the side of the road and said, woo, glory to God. I ain't that spiritual. I'm sorry. But I'm going to tell you something. I remember that day she went in for surgery. Boy, I'm telling you, the doctor come to me. She went in there 10 minutes, Brother Tim. And she comes out. And she was emotional. I don't need the doctor to be emotional. She's cutting on my wife. And man, she's got tears in her eyes. And she said, I'm sorry, it's worse than we thought. And she said, I'm going to tell you right now, it's possibly cancer. Brother Jimmy, you think I stood up in the hospital waiting room and said, oh, praise God. You think I did that, kids? My heart, you know what I started doing? I started backing down a little bit. But God kept reminding me, I'm still in the fire. I'm still in the fire. I'm still in here. I'm going to tell you, it's made me and her a better Christian. Because when there's ladies that's going through what she's going through, she can pull up a chair now and tell them how to get through it. Who God was there with us. God was there with us. I looked around. She was one of the last people they operated around. There wasn't nobody there. But God. But God. See, He was all I needed. I was wondering where so-and-so was and where's Atalia's mom and where's my mother and where's all this. Hey, He was all I needed. He's all you need. I'm going to tell you something. I don't rejoice in going in the fire. I'll be honest with you. But when I look back, I see now why God's put us there. I remember when my daughter was 2 or 3 months old and she had something growing on the top of her eye. And they come to us and said they felt like it was melanoma. You know what I did? I just fell in my cubicle and cried like a baby. I'm telling you, kids, you need to listen to me. He's all you need. You know, that day, nobody could comfort me but God. Amen. And there's times that me and my wife go through things, and a lot of these preachers know, and I have to be the strong one. Because if I'm broke down and messed up, I mean, I can only imagine what my wife's going to be. And I told her the other day, He's all you need. Did I not tell you He's all you need? When the world turns against you, you have nowhere to go. He's all you need. When you go back to the public school, you know what will be waiting on you? A golden image. The world's image. He's all you need, David. It's all you. Hey, don't no one go with me. Still I will follow. Yeah, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had three there, but I bet you one of them would have got in there. He's all you need. Amen. He's all you need in the fire. Number two, He's all you need in the fight. That's all you need. Well, you know, if the church would just get behind me, I mean, I'm fighting the devil. Don't we get that way sometimes? I mean, where's all these people? God is all we need in the fight, kids. Amen. I think about the story over in 1 Samuel chapter 17 of David. Here David was. He was just a young shepherd boy. You know what God was doing to that young shepherd boy? He was testing him over in the backside of nowhere. He was putting things in his life because he knew one day all of Israel would shake. All of Israel would be scared of one man. And his name was Goliath. By the way, the only time you find champion in the Bible, it's referred to Goliath. Champions for Christ. Only champion you find in the Bible was Goliath, and God's fixing to knock his head off. Amen. David goes up there. His dad said, "Hey, you go and take some food to your brethren." He walks in, and I mean, it's like some of you going to walk back to public school. And you're going to walk in there and you're going to go to culture shop. You've been in camp meeting. You've been in two youth camps. You've been around some good preaching. You're going to walk in and there's going to be a Goliath waiting on you. And you know what that Goliath's going to be saying? Send me a man. Send me a man. Send me a man. And I wonder which one of you young boys is going to say, "I will be that man. I will be that man that will stand for right, and I'll fight for what's right in our schools." Amen. I'm telling you, they've told you a lie on CNN. You can't carry your Bible to a school. Amen. You can read your Bible. Read the law. But Goliath's sitting out there. He walked in the camp and he said, "Hey, who is that over there making fun of God? Defiling the armies of Israel." And they went and explained that. He said, "Boy, this, have you not seen this guy?" God had seen him. God knew who he was. And David finally had all he was going to take. He said, "I'll tell you what, I'll go. I'll go down there." His rallying cry was this: "Is there not a cause?" Hey kids, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause for you to stand up? Is there not a cause for you to cry out and say, "Here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me." Amen. You read Isaiah, the first part, before it gets over there to chapter 6. The cities were burnt. The children had rebelled against God. Everything was going wrong. It's like America. America's being burnt and the children have rebelled against God. Why are we not seeing kids stand up and say, "Hey God, here am I, send me, send me, send me." It's going to cost you something. Brother Matthew, it'll cost you something. The day I got saved, all I remember Brother Charlie telling me is, "I got to get in church." He said, "Get in church. Hey kids, you don't know how messed up my life was. Get in church. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival, grass cut. All I knew to do was go to church." One day, it was probably 2 weeks or 3 weeks after I got saved, and Brother Charlie said, "This will straighten your life out." My friend called me and he said, "Hey, we got tickets to the race." I said, "We don't." He said, "Yeah, I got 4. You're going." I said, "No, I got saved." "What? You did what?" Okay, well, it's just one Sunday. I said, "No, my pastor said I had to go to church. I can't go on Sunday." You know, that's been over 10 years and he ain't called me since. But I'm glad that I know that there's a cause for Christ. And I'm telling you, David said, "If you won't go, I'll go." And Israel was shaking in the boots. Well, they said, "Well, you got to go down and put on the armor." He said, "Listen, get this armor off of me. I ain't tried this armor. I ain't proved it with God. One thing I have proved God. And I'll go down there and I will defeat Goliath for the glory of God." So he went down there and got how many stones? 5, Beasley, 5. He got 5 stones. He walked down there and then here Goliath was. He was mocking him. "Is this who you sending to fight me?" I mean, he was mocking David. He said, "I tell you what I'm fixing to do. I'm fixing to knock your head off." He put that rock in the sling. Oh, he had to take 5 because God wasn't a good shot. No, just in case the brothers wanted to get in a fight. Just in case he was going to do some more chopping. On the chopping block, he took that sling. And ain't it amazing where it hit him? That was a God-ordained rock. It popped him in the forehead. And he fell backwards. And then I like what David did. He didn't even have a sword, Tyler. So he went over there to Goliath. He got his sword out. And he started cutting off the head. Amen, David. He started cutting that head off. Why? Because he was going to go back to Israel and show them God was all he needed in the fight. And he went back and he had the head of Goliath. And he said, "I told you so, boys. I told you so. Here's his head." Some of you tonight's got some Goliaths in your life. You're going to need to take Goliath's sword and chop his head off. You go back to your schools and say, "I told you he'd do it." Amen. He's all you need. Son, he is all you need. Amen. Oh, now, brother, if you get behind, he's all you need. Amen. He just trusted God. God sent that bear and that lion. He already proved him. Maybe God's trying to put things in your life to try to prove you, because one day you're going to cut the giant's head off. What could God do with me? What could God do with me? Why don't you ask Him? God, what could you do with me? I know the world thinks I'm a joke, but what could you do with me? I told you at the mission conference, I stood on the altar and said, God, what could you do with me? Would you let me do something for you? You know what I found out, Brother David? He wasn't going to use me outside of Birmingham. I mean, he wasn't going to use me anywhere else till I could be faithful to Birmingham.
Sure.
See, everybody wants this great ministry. They want to be poof in its air. Don't happen that way. If He could not use you to pass out a simple gospel tract, He's not going to use you anywhere else because you won't be obedient to what He told you to do. I'll tell you another story, and I'm almost through. I remember one time I was driving to Montgomery, surrendered to preach, sold out, Brother Tim. Preaching any time somebody let me preach. I said, Lord, I'm driving, man, too. Camp meeting. I had to go out of town. Boy, I'm thinking, man, I'm missing camp meeting. God pulled up my little truck. I said, Lord, what can I do for you? I'm driving along, brother. He said, cut your cable off. I almost went off the road. I mean, I almost went off the road.
Amen.
I said, hang on, Lord. I hit a bump. I thought you said, cut my cable off. Let me ask you again. Lord, what can I do for you? Surely, it'd be run all over the country and preach. He said, cut your cable off. Hang on, Lord. There's a rest area up here. You know what He's trying to get me to do? See if I'd be obedient. Now, I'm not against TV. I'm not telling you, church, cut your cable off. This is what God told me. But see, kid, hey, there's a Goliath in your life. There's a golden image in your life. He's all you need. He's all you need in the last thing. He's all you need in the field. When you do come, and I trust you'll give your body this week. Give everything. Give everything to God. I mean everything, Jeffrey. Just give Him everything. Give Him your future. Everything. But see, you know why we look at this field and we say, man, I'm not going to go. Because of religious liberals. I mean, they got every kind of doctrine in the world. And some of you kids, if you don't get in your Bible and you don't start learning what you believe and ask God to show you the truth, you're going to be swayed into a different doctrine. It's good to know these Bible doctrines like reconciliation and all these things and imputation and the operation of God. It's good to know all these things. But so many of y'all are worried about how many times you beat Gladiator or whatever y'all are playing. I beat him 550 times. Whoopity-doo, God ain't going to care when you get to heaven, you beat Gladiator.
You're right.
I mean, one time I beat Zelda. I was excited. I beat Zelda. I beat all three of them Zelda games. But you know what? God don't give a hoot.
You're right.
He could care less. He's all you need in the field. John 4:35, it says, lift up your eyes. The harvest is white already. And I want to ask you a question. You going to leave it up to me? You going to leave it up to Brother Linton and Brother Charlie and Brother David Wood, Brother Tim? You going to leave it up to all Brother Jimmy? What could God do with a group like this? What could He do with us? But see, you're trying to figure out, well, I got to do this and I got to do... Hey, God's all you need. Hey, the big thing I thought about when I was going to surrender full time to the ministry is how am I going to eat? Now, I know that's funny, but it's serious with me. Don't play with that. How am I going to eat? I mean, the only concern I got on bird flu, I'll be honest with you, is if it's going to shut down KFC. That's the only concern I have. But you know, in my mind, how am I going to eat? My kids are going to suffer. I mean, we going to get to do nothing. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm tired of going upsize. I have supersized since going full time. I have supersized myself almost to death.
Amen.
One time, Brother David, you ain't going to believe this. I first went full time. God said, I'll show you how good I am to you. I was sitting around one day talking to one of my friends, and I said, boy, I sure would like a ribeye steak. I ain't had a ribeye steak in a while. And I went by the guy, a person in our church, and I sat down, and I said, we were going to go play basketball. And he said, hey, brother, you got a few minutes? I said, sure. He said, come with me. We pulled up to a butcher block. He didn't know. I just said, God, I sure would like a ribeye. I know it's carnal, but I'm telling you, he gave me a ribeye. He didn't give me just one. He said, listen, this client gave me all this gift certificate, this butcher block. I mean, I'm not going to eat all this steak. How about you picking out about 10? I picked them out, too, and I ate all 10 of them. I mean, every time I turn around and I think about the field and how am I going to preach in public school? How am I going to do that? The media said, you can't go in there and preach. Come with me on Thursday at 7:45. And we'll show you what we're doing in public school. And it ain't me, it's him. Amen. God said I could go in. He let me go in. And we get to preach to those kids. I told you there was a little boy. He's been praying for 3 years. He told me this at the beginning of last year. I prayed for 3 years. God would send a preacher to my school.
Amen.
God's all you need. Well, I don't know how to do this, and I don't know how to do that. I don't either. All I know is to obey God and do what God told me to do. And He's all I need. He's all you need. You're trying to figure out God. And I know Brother Charlie's here, and he's probably tired of me saying this. But he's taught us God ain't going to give you the plans. I didn't have no plans except to surrender. I was at our youth rally when I done this. I'm up in the pulpit. I'm closing the meeting out. I'm quoting Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And God and come in there and convicted me. All these kids are on the altar. I'm saying, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. And God said, you're a hypocrite. You've not done it. You know what I did? He'd been dealing with me for time and time again. I went to Brother Charlie, talked to Brother Charlie. Went to Brother Jack. Went to Brother Lynn, told him. All of them told me the same thing. They act like they had a conference. I don't know what God's telling you to do, but you better do it. You know what I did? I walked in that Sunday after talking to those men. My wife was laying in the recliner. She had been asleep on there. I said, hey, I'm quitting work. She laughed at me. She said, you're a liar. And you woke me up to tell me that. Next morning I walked in. They had had a party at work. My boss handed me my paper, said, you need to fill these out for your new insurance. I said, I don't need them. I said, why? I said, I'm quitting. And he laughed at me. Everybody, it was a joke around the company that I would die with a venture travel. I mean, that was the joke, but I'm going to tell you something, kids. So I said, you got a 3-week notice. I'm quitting. I'm gone. Lady pulled me aside, the receptionist, and well, I always like these great people that got great wisdom. She said, Scott, I don't know if you know this, but they don't take offerings up at the juvenile. I said, no kidding. I said, I've been preaching there for about 5 years, I know. And then she said, she looked around. You're not going to get rich doing that. And then I looked around. I'm not getting rich doing this either. The last day on my job, boss called me in. He said, you've been a good employee. My boss was the Church of Christ. He debated with me for 2 weeks about the Egyptian eunuch, and I kept telling him it was an Ethiopian. Handed me a $1,000 check. Said, you've been a good employee. I leave, Brother Wayne, go to Brother Jack's wedding. Brother Jack's getting married. And he comes back in and he said, we're going to start this marriage off. I want all the missionaries to stand up. I was one of them, praise God. He said, we're taking up an offering for them. I mean, he took up a good offering for me. I said, amen. When are you going to get married again? Tell me when it is. He's all you need. Kids, God's all you need. You're trying to figure it out. We have preached everything to you this week about being holy and being righteous, and some of you have got that, and you've got that thing fixed. And now you're wondering, what's my next step? Just remember this, He's all you need, whatever that step might be. He's all you need.